The Father supply one more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for such a beautiful day that you give us today, Lord. Lord, to see the sun shining and Lord, to thank you for the health and strength that you give us. To thank you for the spiritual desire that lives within us, Lord. That life of the Word, Lord, manifesting day by day, walking in the Spirit, walking in the light. Lord, we just look to thee this morning to lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, each one that's here, those that would be listening in and those that would listen later, Lord. You know each and every heart and every need. Lord, you know how to get our attention. Lord, you know how to draw us. You know how to guide us. You know how to keep us. And we just give you the thanks and the praise. Lord, as we lift up your lovely name this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you, each one. Good to see Sister Evelyn, Sister Juanita back. And you know, Sister Juanita's lost an aunt and has been away, and so we just we've been praying for her and the family there. Lord, we have just continued to strengthen them, and we know that we're all just getting older day by day, and we don't know what tomorrow brings, and I can remember when the church over here was just full of young people. It was just, I was full of young, we were all young, and there was lots of children, and there was only a few elders. There just was only a few, and now we're the elders, now we're the old people. And so but we thank God because he's brought us this far, and the revelation has continued to grow. It's continued to manifest the promise of this day. And so this thing has really been a really amazing, astounding thing to see that the prophet came and spake. He spoke these mysteries, and then he told us what was going to happen.
Yes,
he said, it's been revealed. He said, the seals are opened. He said, these things are made known. And then he turned right around and he said, but it hangs in a supernatural element. And it's going to continue. And that's what it did. It continued to unfold, to unfold, to unfold. Many of the things he said, we didn't get it. God didn't allow it until the time. And so, and then it has it's just come little by little. It's been growing. As Brother Ram said, we've been growing in this revelation. We've been growing in the resurrection. The rapture, it's been ongoing. We've been growing in the new birth. It's been a constant unfolding, unfolding, unfolding. And that unfolding is a maturing. And so it's maturing in you. And so we thank God for that. Now, we want to say this morning, Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers here. And may God bless you so much, those that are listening in. And I was thinking this morning, one of the most blessed things that you could have, or that any child could have, or any of us could have, is a mother.
Yes, sir.
That's full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That has to be one of the greatest blessings of God.
Yes.
Upon any one of us, no matter your age, but especially the youth, when you're coming up, because those are the years that are building that character and shaping you. But at no matter what time, to have a mother that's full of the Holy Ghost, we're blessed. We thank God and praise God for these mothers that He's put here among us and that are in this message, believing this message and raising their children in this revelation. Amen. And so, Brother Branham, he talked a lot about the mothers, and he said they are the children's first preacher. Yes, sir. The first. She's the one who preaches to those children. She's the one who takes them and sets them down and teaches them the Word of God. And I put a little bit on there this morning. Brother Branham said a lot about it, and he said that's that mother. That's that mother that takes that place to get those children in the presence of God. Amen. And how does she do it? The Word. The Word is God. And so she just keeps that Word coming forth. Yes. And so we thank God for that. Now, I want to get into the message this morning. And I want to thank Sister Amanda for that special, the Lily of My Valley. And He is. And He lets the trials and the troubles come along. And just to strengthen us. You say, well, it's making me tired. It's making me weak. It's making you strong. Amen. And sometimes, you know, it's just like if you go to the gym and work out, or you go walk 5-10 miles, yeah, you're going to be tired. But guess what you just did? You just built muscle. Right. You just built muscle, and that's strength. And you let those muscles grow, and you see what happens. You just get stronger and stronger. And so spiritually, that's what's taking place. Now, and I want to say also, I really appreciate Brother Goomba. We don't say it so much, but he's preaching all the time. A lot of times he's standing here, and I'm thinking how tired he is. And I know Sister Esther, too, she works all night, and then she comes, and I think, what a sacrifice. And I pray for you that God will bless you and strengthen you. But a lot of times Brother Goomba comes in and think, you might not notice he's tired, or you might notice he's tired and you're wondering why. It's because he's up all night. He's preaching. He's preaching to other countries. And many, many times, if you're online, you'll see it. You'll see that he's there. And some of those messages that he's bringing is specific for those languages. He might be speaking in Swahili, he might be speaking in Kikuyu, he might be speaking in English, whatever. But he's doing it there for the ones. Some of them don't have a good command of English, and they can get it better in their language. And so then others, they have a good command, and they can the English is okay. And so I appreciate. Amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate that desire, and that's the Word in action.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now this title this morning is different. And that's why I do that sometime, just to throw you off. So I was trying to throw my wife off last night, and she was tired. And so I couldn't bait her. I was trying to bait her when we went to bed. I said, my title is Two Wings. And I was waiting for her to question me on it, you know. So then I asked her, I said, you know that all birds have two wings? I looked it up, you know, and I never thought about it before, but I thought, okay, there's some freak out there, something, but it's not. All birds have two wings. There's nothing else. Okay. Now insects, that's different. Most insects have two sets of wings, which is four wings. And so then the only thing we know more than that is the cherubims and the seraphims have three sets of wings. They have six wings, right? Yeah. And so those were for a specific purpose. And so I want to get right into this morning, and you'll see where I'm going here. But I'm going to start in It's the Rising of the Sun, then I have a little bit, I think it's in God's Provided Way, and then the Easter Seal, and then we'll come back to this message. But He's going to talk about the same thing in three messages, so I want to read that together instead of letting there be much in between it. So as we go here, in paragraph 292, he says, "Oh, I wish I lived back." See, "I wish I lived back." Did you ever do that? When I was a young Christian, I did that.
Yeah.
I used to think, "I wish I'd have lived in Jesus' day.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have lived in this day or this time or this time." I thought, and not even thinking about the conveniences that we have today. Some people would just, they have a hard time imagining living in anything but all this comfort that we have. But when I was a young Christian, I didn't even care about this, think about this. I thought, I would have liked to live in that day. I would have liked to live in that day when he was on the earth. And Brother Branham has, God has revealed to us, and the prophet has spoken and explained to us that this is the greatest day. This is the greatest age. This is the greatest time. He said, this is the golden age. This is when it's all revealed. This is when it's all opened up. And we can be partakers of it.
Yes,
that we can live in his presence and that we can walk with him.
Right.
If you would have lived back there, yeah, you would have been walking with the man. And that's all a lot of people seen was just a man. It was flesh and blood. But now, you know him by revelation.
Yes,
you know him and you know the fullness of it. The fullness. He's opened himself up. He's unveiled himself in his fullness of the revelation.
Yeah.
And so though it was all in him there, but it wasn't all open to the people yet. And so that was going to come. And that came in this day, and that's why this is a better time than ever before.
Yeah.
Now he's going to go to the scripture here, and we're going to read this, but I'm going to come back on this on Wednesday night. I have some things that I want to talk about and on this subject. Now I see you putting down some scriptures. All right, put down 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and notice how beautiful. See, the saints, them that sleep in Christ, will God bring with him them that sleep in Christ. Now he's using the word sleep here. Okay. So see, saints in the grave resting, right? You remember Brother Branham said somewhere that the Christians don't die. Is that right? There's no death to the Christian. And you say, well, you guys have been talking about, and Brother Gomez really brought very well that everybody dies, right? But what's he talking about? He's talking about flesh.
Right.
Huh? That's not the Christian.
This is
not the Christian. The Christian's on the inside.
That's
the believer's
right.
On the inside. What's the eternal part? It's the soul. It's the nature.
Amen.
It's God. It's that seed of life. It's Christ living in you. That's what can't die.
Yes, sir.
So that when this you come to death's door, then you're just resting. You're just waiting for the next step.
Amen.
So, see, the saints, them that sleep in Christ, will God bring with him, see? Saints in the grave resting like Elijah was, see? Like Elisha was, see? Some of them be quickened. Some of them taken. Some of them in the grave. They will go with him. The trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, right? To gather with them, see, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I want to talk about that word a little bit on Wednesday, being caught up. See, the quickening power on the living. The quickening power on the living. The quickening power on the dead. Right? Being made alive. On the living, on those that are sleeping. See, the same quickening power of God presented in both of these prophets. Look at their names. Are almost the same. Elisha, Elijah. See, the bride and the groom.
Amen.
One of them is Mr. Jesus and the other one is Mrs. Jesus. That's right, you see. Almost the same, just between he and she. See, Elijah. Look how it's represented here, see. Now Elisha, now he stops, he's talking about Elijah, And then he stops and he starts to bring in Elisha, but he stops. He just says, now Elisha, ... And then he goes back. He's talking about Elijah, okay? So it looks a little bit confusing, but he's going to clear it up. If this don't clear it up for you, he's going to clear it up. Elijah, and look how it's represented here, see, was taken up in the rapture. Represents the church, all right? Elijah. And Elisha rested until the resurrection, right? Elijah was caught up, and Elisha was resurrected. See, rested until the resurrection. See, it's just like a bird needs two wings to balance itself. So there's the two wings, resurrection and rapture. Amen. Those two wings are the balance, are the balance to the revelation. See, and that's one thing. There's that is just brother. Well. You know, it's disappointing when you go out there to Google and you go to AI, and I'm not into that stuff, really, I'm not. But when I'm searching for something, because they can tell me everything about it. And so when I'm asking for this, are there any freaks, any different birds, anything that has anything besides two wings? And they're telling you no. But they're taking you back a million years, and you're telling you that this specific species of dinosaurs, which used to have four legs, and then two of them became arms, and then after a while, they became wings. And I'm like, it's just disappointing when you have to read that stuff. Right. And you know, this is the stuff they're teaching our children in the school. This is why our children wrestle sometime when we're telling them something. They're thinking, no, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. You know, and I don't know where it's at now, but I know when I was a teenager, somewhere in there, a teenager, high school, or just in my 20s, is when the first time I found out. Now, like I said, I don't know what they found now, okay? I don't know what's there. But I found out at that time. And we're talking 40-something years ago, 50 years ago, that every dinosaur in every museum that I had seen was based on one or two bones. Huh? Is that right? One or two bones. You see this big old thing with a big neck and a big long tail, and there's a body like it is, or you see this other one, it's got these wings, and he's just a big thing, and his mouth is like this, and he's got these big teeth, you know. All of that is some scientist's idea of a bone that they found. I was amazed. I'm thinking, this can't even be possible. These people, these are the scientists that are 100 times smarter than I am. They know all of this stuff. And then they're telling me that this is what it looked like. And then they can break this down into a triceratops and a rexosaurus and all kind of different sources and this type of dinosaur and that type of dinosaur. And it's just all a bunch of made up stuff. Right. And I'm not saying there's no dinosaurs. I'm just saying that what they've created, they don't have proof of it.
Right.
And then Hollywood had a good time with it. Yep. Hollywood, they got all kind of stuff. And I never was interested in that. So I never watched that stuff. I just, especially after I found out that they take a bone and said, oh, this bone, I'm shaping this bone, and this bone must be from this certain part of the body. So according to this size, this bone, the rest of the bones had to be this big, the body had to be this big, and it had to look like this. That's science. So like I said, they may have found some more stuff now. They may have found a whole one. I don't know. But I'm down to two. Because they already had all of that, and whatever they find, they got to fit it into what they already came up with, or ain't going to work. or they're just going to keep hidden, if this is going to mess up what they've already think is proven. You know, why is it so hard to believe that God created a bird? God created a bird, and he gave him two wings, and he gave him two eyes, and he gave him the right size body shape, and everything that he had need of. God made him, created him, and made him perfect. And why is it that we're looking at, from Genesis to Revelations, 6,000 years, why has there been no change of species? Huh? How come no more monkeys have become men? No men have become monkeys. No, any other animal has become anything else. Tell me why. But if you or if our children in the school tell them that this idea does not align with the Word of God, they will get bad grades for it. They do that in the colleges. If you buck in the colleges, you'll find out. That was one of the things that this, what was the guy who just died? Yes, Charlie Kirk. That was one of the things he was running into. The students, if they leaned the least little bit conservative and they challenged anything that the professors were saying, going towards God or what's just naturally right, they were being marked off. They were getting bad grades for it. And they were depending on these grades, and it was stuff that was ridiculous. Like saying, no, I don't believe all this dinosaur stuff. Well, you're going to believe our myth, you're going to believe our ideas, or you're going to get a bad grade. See, the church was represented right there in those two prophets, right? Resurrection and rapture. See, for we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the trump of God shall sound. Both wings shall come together and we'll fly away. See, hallelujah. Fly away, because what? In the living or dead, the quickening power still lives. Amen. Praise God. And that's what it is. It is the quickening power. And that's what's going to do it. No matter where you're at what period of time or anything else, it is the quickening power that's going to bring you. Now, this is in God's provided place of worship. this is not the Shreveport. This is in California. I preached it, and then he came later in a few months later and preached it again in Shreveport. Dear God, we've had a fight with Satan this afternoon on these microphones. Knowing them, people probably didn't get half of it. The bounding around and in the building like that. And I thought, Brother Gumba could probably relate to this, but I know the early days to India, it was like this. We was always preaching late because the people were coming in from the fields, and it would be late at night. We might not start preaching till 9 o'clock, between 8, 9, 9:30, something like that. And the power go off all the time. The power goes off, the mic goes off, the lights go off. And it was just, it was a constant battle. And so because the people want to do something and the people want to try to make it work, get things going again, it's better if they would just sit still and be quiet and let you just keep preaching. You don't have to have the power or the mic. But how many times I had a hoarse throat from screaming, trying to preach when the crowd was a little bit bigger. But this is the same as God I read the other day. We're going through the same thing, the same challenges, the same devil is creating the same problems. It lets me know that it didn't just happen to us. He was fighting the same battle. He laid the way. We're in the same battle, the same devil still doing the same thing. We're not looking for everything to be our way now. No. We're expecting the same opposition. We're expecting Satan to come in and disturb. And he does. He does. But I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will take that which is, was meant to be. Lord, to let the people see that we're not some dead, dragging bunch of hope-sos. Huh? Right. Satan never, you're trying to witness to somebody and Satan said, they think you're crazy. They think you're just, you guys don't, you don't really know what you're talking about. Hmm? Same devil was talking to the prophet. Yep. That's right. The same devil. See? No, God, we are alive now. Quickened by the power of the resurrection of Christ. Yes. Jesus Christ lives in us. Amen. And we believe that, Lord. Huh?
That's right.
That's something we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis. Because when Satan continues to tell you something different, and you listen to that, you need to remind yourself. The message reminds you, the scripture reminds you, all these different things, but you need to speak it. You need to speak it. And just what the prophet is saying, that Christ lives in us.
Amen.
That we are now resurrected because he lives in us.
Yes, sir.
That's the life. That's the resurrection. It's Christ, the Word, resurrected, quickened in this last day. We believe that, Lord. We claim no glory of our own, like on Mount Transfiguration, where every one of us was represented right there. Huh? We were represented on Mount Transfiguration. See, there was Moses, the one that died and raised again. There's the resurrection, right? There's one wing. Now he had it in Elijah and Elisha. Now he's got it in Moses and Elijah. See? The one that died and raised again, there was Elijah, the quickening saints. That'll be caught up in the last days. He's saying, we were represented there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they seen then, when they look back, and they seen Jesus only. Praise be to God. And what was he? All of it. Didn't he say, I am the resurrection?
Amen.
He is all of it. He is the quickening power. He is the catching away. We know, Lord, we don't want people to see us. We're not here for that purpose. Far be it, Lord. But Lord, it does delight our hearts when we see Jesus glorified among us, when we see him glorified, when we see his word, which he is the word, when we see, we can read it here in the Bible where he promised he would do it and then see him work it right out in us.
Yes,
huh? In us.
That's right.
Yep. That's right. That's his plan.
Right.
He's got somebody that is going to yield himself so he can work it out in you.
Yes, sir.
Oh God, how it makes us feel humble that we see, that we know that his living presence. Amen. Easter seal. So there. That's twice. This is going to be the third time now. He's going to come. He's going to come back to Elijah and Elisha. What is these things? Look here, people here in Phoenix. Look at you people who has believed in this. Look at the people who has this that lays their hands on you. Watch what happens. It's quickening power. These signs shall follow them that believe. And if they lay their hands on the sick, that quickening power, eagle to eagle, huh? See, something is going to take place. Now, an eagle to a buzzard, it won't work.
Right.
All right? That ain't going to work. It's going to take an eagle to an eagle. That's what it's going to take. Because they speak the same language. And that's why that baby eagle, as soon as he heard that mama scream, it was real to him. It quickened something down inside him. Even though he had never heard it before, it quickened something and brought to life that thing where he came from.
Right.
That's right. You say he was born in the barnyard. He was in his great, 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 great granddad.
Amen.
That's right. He was there before the foundation of the world. He was an eagle. And you were the same.
Amen.
See, eagle to eagle raises from the barnyard into the heavenlies. These signs shall follow them that believe. When they're both in beliefs. That's right. See, the same, see that same quickening power? Huh? Of God represented in these two prophets, amen. Elijah and Elisha. Notice the same word. One of them is catch up, and the other one is caught up. Now, he says it different this time. What he was saying in It's the Rising of the Sun. And these Easter seal and the rising of the sun, these messages were preached one week apart. And Easter seal was first, and it was in Phoenix, Arizona, on the 10th. And then he came home, and he preached to his church in Jeffersonville. And so that's what we read first in The Rising of the Sun. Both of these are great, great messages. So here he's saying, catch up and caught up. See? He was caught up. We'll be catch up. See? Catch up with them. Meet them in the air. Be caught up to meet them in the air. So, we know what we was taught for the last 2,000 years about rapturing. Not you're just going to go, but this air, these clouds, this place you're being caught up to, is it just, you're just going to be out there in the air, you're just going to be floating, just going to, because gravity's not going to be there no more, and you're just going to be floating around in the air. Like Brother Branham said, the old timers used to believe that when you died, you go up and you're on a cloud. In other words, you're just floating around, and you're playing a harp. And Brother Branham said, well, all those that play instruments are going to have it on us then, because they know how to play. So he thought, you know, I'm just going to be on a cloud. And he said, then I'll see Brother Neville going by on another cloud. That's some of those people that were creating these dinosaurs out of a single bone. Yep. That's what they were doing. And that's what people, without any revelation, were creating this idea of what these things were. See, be caught up to meet them in the air. Notice. Satan's just telling me right now, he's saying, but it says air. They're going to be in the air. They're going to be in the air. Yeah. Brother Branham said, you're not going anywhere.
Right. That's right.
He said, it's just another dimension.
That's right.
Is that air enough for you?
Yeah.
It's just another dimension.
Right.
You're just going to go out of this dimension. He said, it's right here. He said, it's just right here.
That's right.
And what didn't he say one time, 20 feet above you?
Yeah.
20 feet above you. It's just right there. He said, there's angels going through this room right now.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
All these things are going through this room right now. Everything that the television picks up, he said, it's all in this room right now.
Yep.
It's just in another dimension.
Yes, sir.
That's all. That's all that's going to happen.
Right.
You're not going to go sit on the cloud. You're not going to be vaporized. You're not going to be just some bloat around with the wind.
Nope.
No. You're going to be caught up. Notice a bird has to have two wings. See, to balance itself. That's right. Congregation says amen. Elijah was the translating wing. And Elisha was the resurrection wing. Huh? The rapture, resurrection. Translating, see, resurrection. See, both of them together representing the saints that are living and the saints that are gone on. Remember, quickened to see the past. See the curtains. Remember, Brother Brandon went beyond the curtain of time?
Yes, sir.
And he's seen what was over there. He's seen those people that are already was changed. He could see them. He could talk to them. Is that right?
Nope.
Didn't Paul do the same thing? Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. He's seen those people. See how these people were quickened back there to look past the curtain and see down in this time. Those prophets back there looked past the curtain of time and they seen this day. That's right. And Brother Branham went and seen the people of this day that had already passed on. And if I'm understanding correctly, he's seen people over there that had not yet passed on. Is that what he said? He said, I seen all of you. He said, I seen all of you over there. You explain that.
Amen.
2:22, Easter seal. Look at Paul. Said in the last days how these people would be, act and call themselves Christians. He was a prophet, full of the quickening power. See? Foresaw it come to pass. Paul said he saw things. Said he was caught up and he saw things that wasn't lawful for him to utter. Right. I always took that as he couldn't tell nobody, but if he's talking about the law, then half of them don't believe any of it anyways. Right. They didn't all believe in angels. They didn't all believe in resurrection. They had different ideas. Yes, they were just as divided as not only the denominations, but also the message people today.
Right.
It's a division. It's a division. And it's a division because of one single thing. And that's all.
Right.
It's a lack of revelation.
Right.
And that's because of one simple thing. Again, it's a lack of the new birth.
Yes.
If you're born again, then Christ the teacher is living in you.
Amen.
And the scripture said that he will lead you and guide you in all truth.
Yes.
All of it. Not part of it. All of it.
That's right.
So that's how revelation comes, is by being born again. Then Christ is in you and he begins to reveal to you, to lead you and guide you in all truth.
Yes, sir.
And then you become one of those elected persons that Jesus told the woman at the well, that the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. Because he's given it to them. He's given them the Spirit of God. He's given them the truth. The revelation. And without that, no man can call Jesus the Christ but by the Holy Ghost. No matter how much you say, the scripture says, if you believe, you're saved. That's right. But there's more scripture. There's more scripture. And you got to take all of it. Man must live by every word of God. That means every prophet that spoke, you got to take that one too.
Amen.
That means you got to receive it in your day. You can't just take what they said back there. God sent a prophet in this day. You got to take this.
Yes.
This is the mouth of God today in our prophet.
Right.
Amen. Look at the quickening power today. Foretelling things, see? I'm sorry, did I leave some out? We believe that, don't we? He received the quickening power. 2:22. Look at that quickening power today, foretelling things without one event missing.
That's right.
What's he saying? That it was thus saith the Lord perfectly.
Amen.
Every detail perfectly.
Right.
He went to places sometime and God would just show him. They could be sitting at the table and God would say, these two women are going to walk in. One of them is going to have a white hat on. This one's going to do this and this one's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell the one sitting with him at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be sitting there and just a few minutes, here they come. And they're looking at him and they're looking at Brother Branham. They'll come. It'll be met. One time he was in a city and it was given to him. It went from... He was here, he was trying to have breakfast with his family. And so the Spirit of God started leading him to get up, do this. He was crossing the street and he met somebody in the crosswalk.
Yes, sir.
He met somebody in the crosswalk And I think that person had spent all their money, had spent all their money to come there and had been in the meetings, and they had not even been able to afford a proper hotel and food every day while they were there, but was just doing their best to survive because they didn't have money to get back home. And so they had overstayed and never got in the prayer line. And now the meetings have ended. And now God is leading the prophet to down the street. And then he told him, said, cross the street. So in the crosswalk, he meets this woman.
Yep, that's right.
And she begins crying, but her needs are met.
Yes, sir.
And then he goes down and he's looking in a store window, and somebody comes up and begins talking to him and telling him, and something else happens, and something else happens, and something else happens. Just one after another after another.
Yes, sir.
Every detail perfectly.
Right.
You don't see that much detail in anybody else in that whole Bible as what we have laid out for us in this day.
That's right. That's
perfectly.
Right.
Is this all true? Absolutely. Is it full of supernatural? Absolutely. Is there detail there? Absolutely.
Nope.
This is the greatest.
Yes, sir.
This is the greatest day. This is the greatest hour. This is the greatest revelation.
Yes.
This is the greatest manifestation of the quickening power of Jesus Christ that's ever come.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not one time does it fail. Quickening power, not the power of a man, the power of God. The power, see, the abstract of Easter. The resurrected Jesus that sent back the abstract to guarantee us that we're already quickened with Him. Praise be to God. See? But if some man comes along, they'll run after it. They'll run after it. They'll run after it. God proves His word.
That's right.
That's right. And I don't care how much anointing they have, and I don't care how much thus saith the Lord they say. I don't care how many words they speak.
Yeah.
If they are not 100% in the revelation of this day,
that's right.
That's false.
Amen.
I don't care how much anointing.
Right.
It can be the true anointing.
Yes, sir.
But if the seed is in there, the seed will be quickened.
Right.
Then that life and the anointing will go together.
Right.
But if the seed's not in there, then that anointing is going to go just like Cain did.
Yep.
It's going to go just like Judas did. It's going to go just like Balaam did.
Right.
Yes, true anointing. No doubt. Powerful.
Yes.
Able to get large numbers. And Brother Branham said, anybody. He said, now, in this day, this was in the 60s though, but it's even more so now, because you look what's out there in the religious and the political arena. Brother Branham said, anybody now can get a following.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. He said, it don't matter what you believe. It don't matter what you preach. You can go out there with any kind of idea and people will follow you. That's the day and the age. 296. Notice, remember now, quicken to see what these things are. Oh, what that is our blessing. We've been quickened to see what these things are. What things? Resurrection? The rapture? Huh? The mysteries? Who is God? He's never been revealed like He's revealed now. No, I was reading this morning, and Brother Branham was telling about Jesus' Father. And, you know, 99 out of 100 times he says God was his Father. And he said the Logos was his Father. Which is the Word. Huh? The Logos was the Father of Jesus. Yeah. He was the Word that came out of God.
Yes, sir.
quickened to see these things, quickened to know these things.
Right.
How blessed we are. Praise be to God. To know who is God, to know who the Son of God is. See? Know who, what the mystery of the two witnesses are. Huh? Right. 297, I think our Lord said, so did Paul, what the Father showed me, I've held nothing back. I tell you. And in these last days, when we see his quickening power upon us, he even give quickening power to us. See? Be on you. It can be in you. See, he give it to you. He sent you out to in action.
Yes.
That, remember when, and I was reading, I had those quotes about the cherubims, seraphims, and the six wings, but there's no way that we're going to get them in here today. And so I took it all out. But that was, what was one set was? Action. To put you into action. See, we have seen the quickening power working among us like it was then upon them in the early days. See, it bring back by vision and raise the dead. See, make the sick well. Is that right? Yes. See, that's one thing when they come on the platform and he prayed for them and they're healed. It's another thing when they come on the platform and he sees in a vision before him, they're standing there and God shows him a vision of what's going to happen. And he sees them next week, maybe doing something. Maybe they can't see or they can't walk. And he sees them next week going somewhere, walking or seeing. Huh? That's another. But here's another one. Is God shows him the vision of something that's going to happen out there a year from now.
Right.
Or months from now. Give the details of what's going to happen. And it happened.
Yes.
He had a vision of a little boy being raised from the dead that was ran over by a car, mangled completely up. And he told all the people there. He said, this is thus saith the Lord. This is going to happen. And that boy is going to be raised from the dead.
Right.
And he said, I want you to write this. He challenged him. Write it in the fly leaf of your Bible. Turn over to the beginning where you got a blank page in your Bible. He said, write it in there. This is the kind of clothes he's going to have on. This is the kind of land that I'm seeing around. This is the landscape of what I'm seeing. I don't know what country it is. I don't know where it's at. I don't know who he is. I don't know none of that. But this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this and this and this and this. And this is what the boy, the kind of clothes that the boy's got on. And this is what happened. 2 years. 2 years later, he's having meetings in the Scandinavian countries. And they're in a motorcade with all these different preachers and people traveling along. And they come up on a wreck, and there's a boy that is dead. It was in a wreck and ran over by a car.
Right.
And he gets out, and they're looking. It's got the traffic stop both directions, and so they stop, and they're looking, and it's like something. It's like you. What's that saying? They have you've been there before. You've seen this before. You know there's something. Deja vu. Huh? You know there's something about this. And then he realizes, and he tells one of the preachers, get your Bible.
Yes.
Get your Bible. Read it. Read it right now. And look around and see, is that the clothes that this boy has on?
Right.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yep.
That boy, that dead boy is going to get up and walk.
Yes, sir.
Or I'm a false prophet. 2 years it had been laying in that Bible. 2 years it was in many Bibles. And here comes, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
What was it? It was the quickening power. It was the quickening power that God has unleashed in this day to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
You say, and don't, it's not, it's from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's the same quickening power, but in this hour, now. Something has happened greater than has ever happened before. We can go turn our head to the wall. What they say about an ostrich, he sticks his head in the sand and he thinks, you know, that really is the cutest thing. You ever watch when the children are really small and they're hiding from you? They just cover up their face and they can't see you. So, you know, you can't see me. Yeah. They'll go get on the blanket, they'll take that blanket and they'll put the blanket over their head and all the rest of their body showing. And they think they're hiding. They think they're hiding. And you play with them. Where is Lincoln at? Where are you at? Where are you? I'm looking for you. Are you in the closet? Are you in the kitchen? Are you, huh? It takes a revelation.
Yes, sir.
It takes a revelation of God living in you to walk in this day and this age and to recognize what God is doing and what God has done. That's why he said, you think, I wish I'd lived in that day? No, this is the greatest day. This is the greatest hour. That's right. This is when all these things... It's when all these things are made known, when they're revealed. And people still stick their head in the sand. 298. The other day I was telling someone, little Donovan Wirtz here, I guess you all know him. I was up hunting with him, poor little fella. He's such a nice little guy. He comes here to church, just a very good friend of mine, and said, I cut some out here, she said. I didn't want to bother you. And I looked at his ear, so I must have cut some out of it. I'm sorry. I don't know. Anyways, so Brother Branham sees him. He sees his ear. He sees the cancer is eating his ear off. And so he asked him, he says, what's wrong with your ear? And he said, I don't know. He said, it's been like this for so many months. And said, so he said, well, why didn't you say something? He said, well, I didn't want to bother you, Brother Branham. And so Brother Branham just took him by the hand and knew that it was cancer. And sometimes you think, you know, the prophet, if you can read this in another place, and Brother Branham is explaining this same thing, only he's explaining it that he was trying to shake him up. He was trying to discern his thought. He was... one of the reasons he asked him about it. And so he says it different ways, different times. He reveals some of those things that he's thinking about or what he's trying to get to. But the bottom line here is that he had a cancer and the prophet discerned it and the prophet just touched him. And he said 2 days later, there wasn't even a scar. And this thing was eating his ear off. It was eating his ear off. I said, Donovan, what's the matter with your ear? He said, I don't know, Brother Branham. About 6-7 months, it keeps getting worse. Okay, let's drop down. 302. I just put my hand over on him, never said a word. 2 days after that, there wasn't even a scar. What is it? The quickening power, see? It will quicken your mortal body. His ear would have eat off. His brains would have been gone, see? He'd have died, but the quickening power, see? Amen. That quickening power. See, that's the same one that he said, that same quickening power is the one that will bring your flesh in subjection to the Word of God. Yeah. So, but it's also for healing. It's for everything. That same quickening power. That's right. When you have a need, it's there. 303, one day when I was weary myself, I said, boy, you're 50 years old. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better hurry up and do it. You're getting old. See? And there that morning, the quickening power come, and he let me look over the curtain. And I seen all of you over there. See? Uh-huh. See? And he said, all that you ever loved and all loved you, they give to you. What a promise. What a glorious promise and blessing and gift from God. And you think, and I always think about what he went through as a young man, as a young minister, the suffering that he went through and the losing his family and all of those things. But was it worth it? Was this a payday? Was this the greatest blessing that he could receive? Yes. But he went through those things for us. So this message could be brought perfectly. Just perfectly. And it was. People find them excuses. And I don't know if it's in here or not, but I was reading that quote again where Brother Branham was talking about the cloud. And so many people have left the message because of the cloud and about whether he was there on this day or that day or whatever it was. But in this particular quote, Brother Branham said, we didn't even see it. We didn't see it. They saw it. That's what he said. He said, we didn't see it. So he was there when he was there. The cloud was there whenever God put it there. And so Brother Branham said, we didn't see it. They did. And they took the picture. He said, we didn't take the picture. They took the picture. The only difference was we knew what it was and they didn't know what it was. They took the picture, but they didn't know what it was. We didn't see it, but now we see the picture and we know what it is. We know that it's Christ. Praise be to God. You know, I don't know, that might even be, is that thing in here? And pillar of fire is it? It is, I'm going to just, it's in one of these messages, that's all right. But, in the seals? Oh, yes. They're all there. Let me see. So, he just, God told him which way to turn it.
Yep.
And you turn it, and what do you see? Huh? The head of Christ. Perfectly.
Amen.
Perfectly.
That's right.
Just happened to be? No, he told it a year and 6 months before he went there.
Yep.
That's right. That these seven seals would be revealed.
Right.
Yes. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of this revelation.
Amen.
People read this Bible and say they believe it. And you know, you just give them the benefit of the doubt. You do. We give them the benefit of the doubt. And we know they don't believe it.
That's right.
If they believed it, they'd believe this. They make this so mysterious and hard to believe, but yet they believe something was thousands of years ago.
Yep.
Thousands of years ago, no living witnesses of it.
Right.
Huh? No.
Right.
There's living witnesses of this.
Yes.
There's still some left.
Right.
And their testimonies are wrote down. There's still some that you can go talk to that knew this man. Eyewitnesses.
Right.
Received their healing. Was not able to have children and are able to have children.
Yes,
yeah. And those children have grown up now.
Yep.
Yes. And then people laugh at this and then say they believe this. They don't.
That's right.
I'm not throwing off on denominations. I'm saying message people.
Yeah.
I'm saying message people that claim to believe the prophet and don't believe what he said. And say they believe this.
Yep.
No, you don't.
Nope.
It's just words.
Yes.
It's just words. And Let's see, where are we at? 303? Okay, dropping down in there. The quickening power come, and he let me look over the curtain. And I seen all of you over there, yeah. Uh-huh. See? And he said, all that you ever loved and all loved you, they're give to you. See, I seen them all over there like that. What was it? The quickening power. See, John the Revelator was filled full of the quickening power that stood up and seen the end from the beginning. Isaiah was full of the quickening power and stood up and seen the millennium. All right? And I ran across a quote yesterday while I was studying, and it was one of these places where the two women were going to come in, and Billy Paul was trying to talk to Brother Branham and ask him questions on the millennium. And he's dropping that in, and he's telling that these women are going to be coming. They're going to be coming in. And so the statement Brother Branham made, I think it was in the 50s. Some of you might could verify that if you remember reading it. Brother Branham said, I don't know. He said, that's why I don't preach it, because I don't understand it. You're talking about the millennium. It was a revelation that came after the opening of the seals. That's right. All of it, all the preachers that from Isaiah and these different ones that talked about it, it was not understood. It was assumptions that the theologians made. That it's this or that. And Brother Branham, when he separated it, when he separated the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth, that's what they had mixed it together. And he said, they're mixing it up, see? But he didn't touch it when he didn't understand it. But when God gave him the revelation, he come and he preached it. He preached the future home. He preached those things. And now we have it in book form. So that if we want to know, we can know. Those questions about will there be babies? Will you do this? Will you do that? Will you going to build? Are you going to do that? Huh? He answered the questions. Praise be to God. Only way you can get them is if you got the quickening power. It's got to be in you. Yeah, it's got to be in you to reveal to you. See? And there are some things that he said that it looked like on different subjects before the seals were open. And then after the seals, he came and he straightened it out. Right. Now, I haven't seen it in years, but I'm pretty sure there's a quote back there, Brother. You might have found it when you were studying. Brother Branham said that Moses and Elijah was not the Old and New Testament. You found that quote? Yes. He said, it's two men. Way back there. Way back there. Yeah. Just like you heard a preacher on the radio preaching one day, and he said, I never heard anybody preach it like that. He said, I found somebody who preaches it like I do, that the new birth and being born again is two different things. Yeah. And then when the seals are opened up, he comes back and he says, no. He said, it's not two different things. Right. He said, they're not. You don't do this and then this happens, or this and this and this. No, he said the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is one and the same thing. Yep. It's not two different events. So there's just one. Just one. It's Christ coming into you and living in you. Amen. Changing your life, changing your desire. So there was things he had to change. First time he preached the seals back there, yeah, he just took what the theologian said. That white horse rider was Christ. He was on a white horse. He had a bow. Huh? But when the revelation came, the white horse rider was the Antichrist. He had a bow, but he didn't have no arrows. That meant he was a bluff. Christ is not a bluff. Christ has the goods. He's got the quickening power. Whatever he speaks, it's going to be done. Right. 306. Quickening power. And if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Remember the quickening power. See? And look, what we've seen in this day, the quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. Praise God. What was that? The intelligence of a man? No. the quickening power of God. See, the quickening power of God foretold this would take place. See, the quickening power of God made the world to testify. That's right. In so many ways, including that they took the picture. Supernatural cloud hangs over Arizona, Mexico. Huh? Yeah. Put it in the magazine. Anybody have any information? Bring it to us. We're trying to figure this thing out. This couldn't be a regular cloud. This is a supernatural cloud. Brother Branham wanted to tell him. He said, "Oh, don't cast your pearls before the swine." No. Now, after all these years, now they're saying there's some planes was in the area that they were testing. Huh? Why didn't they say that back then? Huh? Why is this new revelation? They're tired of people calling. They're tired of people asking them what happened during that time. We just need to fix this thing. Yeah, we had some planes out there and they were doing this and this and this and this and I left that. Fine. You ever seen an airplane trail like that?
No,
you haven't. Because they all go just like this. Huh? And the best you can do is they go. Yeah. You ain't never seen one do this. Make this head of Christ.
Right.
And then there's no tail coming to it. There's no trail going from it. It's just strictly the head of Christ. Nothing else. Nowhere around it. Anywhere. Nope. What happened in Jesus' day? They remembered. Is that right? They remembered that they were talking about a resurrection. So they paid the soldiers. When the soldiers came and said, "He's gone." They paid the soldiers and said, "You tell them that they came by night and stole him away." Is that right?
Yep.
That's right. Told them to lie. Knowing that it was a lie.
Yep.
Huh. Oh, Satan's on his job, isn't he? All right. No, the quickening power of God. See, the quickening power of God foretold this would take place. See, the quickening power of God made the world testify to it. It's the truth. The angel of the Lord, I told you, was around in a pillar of fire. See, the quickening power. Let the world testify that it's the truth. And in that, they didn't know what it was. And we knew, just look this way, and it's our Lord Jesus up there. See? Oh, amen and amen. 308, he is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals, for the whole word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of the seals then? It's revealing Christ. See, it's just simple, isn't it?
Yes,
it just really is simple. You read the Bible and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay? So all the Bible is God.
Right.
So now, the Spirit of God has come on the scene and revealed the seven seals. What is it? It's the same thing. It's God in word form.
Amen.
And the very seven angels, which represented the seven churches, all completed. It represented them being completed. Those seven ages being completed. They had to be completed, so now the seals could be broke. And we couldn't even see it. Yeah, it is here. We couldn't even see it. They did. And they took the picture, not us. And there he is standing there, supreme judge, showing that he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What identification, quickening power did that to us. Praise God. And quickening power Listen now. Let us see His coming.
Right.
Yes. When people are waiting for His coming, this quickening power lets you see His coming.
Yes,
quickening power snatched us from death to life. Huh? In every age, the quickening power was catching them out of the lie of that age. In every age, the Word of God came on the scene, even though it was only just a little bit, not in its fullness, but a little bit. But that little bit of revelation caught them up. They were caught up. They were caught up. Think in the days of Luther. Huh? In the days of Luther, when the Roman Catholic had its grip, and they were coming out of the Dark Ages where the Roman Catholic Church had put 68 million Christians to death. You talk about a fear upon the people of going away from the Catholic Church because they were going to die. It was a death sentence. So it took something. It took the hand of God to reveal to these people and give them the boldness to walk up there in the face of death.
Yes, sir.
And stand with Luther on the revelation.
Right.
It was a quickening power.
Amen.
And they were caught up in this new revelation. They were caught up. And it was, and this new revelation, it was life. It was life to them. Those that stayed in the Catholic Church, they died. Huh? They were dead and they stayed dead. But the quickening power brought some of them out and they were caught up into this great revelation. And then along comes Wesley. Sanctification. And a great move of God. They begin going around the world preaching this great gospel. And then in the seventh age, Scripture begins to manifest itself. And God pours out His Spirit upon all flesh. And they begin to dream dreams and see visions and see all these supernatural things were taking place among the people.
Right.
And then intellect came right in there. Just like it did behind Luther, just like it did behind Wesley, the theologians come in there and said, you must speak in tongues. I'm going to tell you, there's too many people in the message today that still have this idea that I'm a good person. I'm a good person, so I'm going to go to heaven. I did this, or I paid my tithes, or I preach, or I helped my neighbor. I helped the widow woman. I did this, I did that. Huh? No. No.
Right.
Brother Branham said, all those things you can do, they said, that's moral. That's good moral things that you're doing. I don't have nothing to do with the new birth.
Amen.
No. You'd... A Christian does those things, but the new birth is the thing that makes you a Christian. Quickening power lets us see His coming. Quickening power snatches us from death to life. Quickening power gives discernment, huh? Discernment and revelation to know what's wrong with you, huh? That was a gift that God gave. And what to do? What you have done, see? And what you ought to have done. And what you should have done. And what you will be. Quickening power, all these things. Yeah, it was being revealed. It was being revealed.
Amen.
Brother, sister, that life. There's not going to be another prophet. There's not going to be another gift to the age like that.
Amen.
But the same Jesus Christ, the same quickening power is here. And the same Scripture is applied to the elect. That's right. You, these signs shall follow them that believe. Brother, it's got to be. It's got to be in our midst. It has to be. God promised it. And it's the children's bread. 3:11. Our Lord Jesus is so full of quickening power, He has all of it together. He was so full of quickening power, see, He said, you destroy this body and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Talk about confidence in quickening power. Huh? Destroy this body, this temple, and I'll bring it up in 3 days. It reminds me of Brother Branham in those early days, and God made him stop, but he would have meetings and declare it was going to be miracles, just miracles, that people, they were going to be healed. He had meetings that he would say, I want only major cases. I want something major wrong with you. Blinded eyes, cancer. Just only want the hardest cases. I don't want you coming in here with a headache. I don't want you coming in here with a cold, the flu. None of these things. I want you to come in here with something to take the supernatural hand of God to remove it from you. Because that's what God sent him to do. To wake the world up that Jesus Christ was resurrected and alive. That his word was true. And that gift went around the world and it got the attention of the world. And then come the message. Then come the revelation. And that revelation began to speak forward. And that revelation began to quicken the seed of life in the bride.
Yes, sir.
That's and those things, they become alive. You read the message. When Brother Branham said, in the fourth seal, there has been no move of God to stir the bride, to awaken the bride. Huh? No move of God. That gift had been going for 30 years. The dead had been raised. Flesh had been created. The blinded eyes had been opened. Everything had been done. There had been a worldwide healing revival.
Yes, sir.
And the prophet stands right there as these seals begin to break open and says there's been no stir of God. Isn't that something? That's why you can't be deceived. That's why somebody can come with all the gifts and all the supernatural and all the great things and it don't shake you. Somebody comes on that word and you light up.
Huh?
You light up.
Amen.
When I was a kid, they had this television program and it was, the name of it was My Favorite Martian. It's too old for you guys. But there was this guy, and he was actually supposed to be an alien. He just looked like an old bald-headed man like me. But every time that he needed to know something, these two antennas come up out of his head. And they come up just like, you know how the antennas used to pull out of your radio, you'd pull that antenna out. And these would just come up out of his head and they'd be sticking up there and then he could tell you anything. The elect of God, when they hear that word, their spiritual antennas go up.
That's right.
That's right. And you can't deceive them. You can't deceive them. Because they got the detector. They got the detector down inside of them. Amen. 3:12. Why did he say that? He knew that it was written. Huh? Why did he say, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up? He knew it was already in there. He knew it was in the scripture.
That's right.
That it was written of him by the word of God, which could not fail. The word said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. And he knew that quickening power would raise him up. And that there wouldn't be one sail corrupt. Hallelujah. And he said, you destroy this temple, I'll bring it back again. See, in 3 days. Why? It was prophecy. The word of God and prophecy if it's the true word of God, it cannot fail. And the same prophecy and word of God that said he had raised him up. And the same says that we are already raised with him.
Right.
Oh, now he's putting it on us. Now he's challenging us. That Christ knew that they could kill him, but he had no fear of it because he knew that the scripture had promised there would not one cell of his body corrupt before he would be back alive again.
Amen.
And now he's telling us that that same spirit is in you. That quickening power is in you. See? And that same word of God says that you are already resurrected in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. No wonder he said, fear not. It's written, the spirit that is now was in him, now in us, also quickens your mortal body. Fear not, friend. The sun is up. The sun is up. Now look at transfiguration. See? We was everyone represented there. There was the living saints that had raptured. There was Elijah standing there. There was Moses, the dead saints. See? And both of them had quickening power. Whether one died or the other one didn't die, they're all there. See? And notice now, look what we're now seeing in these last days. The same thing that he promised in John 14:12. People say, you claim to have power. No. We're just like them at Mount Transfiguration, see? Certainly, we do not claim power. See? But like them, see, on Mount Transfiguration, they wasn't saying, Moses, see who I am. The disciples say, see who I am. See? You know what happened. They seen Jesus glorified. That's all they wanted to see represented was Jesus glorified.
Amen.
That's all we want. That's all we want.
That's right.
That's our whole life, is to surrender, is to get out of the way, is to die to ourselves so he can manifest himself.
Amen.
See, and so is it today. We don't try to be some big person. We don't care what the people say about us. Our name is nothing. It's his name. Our life is nothing. It's his life. It's his power, not our power. There's only one thing that we love to do, is see him glorified.
Amen.
That is the spirit of Christ. That is the nature of God living in you. When we die, and our whole desire is to project him. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Project him. And there's only one thing we love to do, is see him glorified. And how can it be? When he's glorified in us, by his resurrection that's in us. We see him represented again as he was today. Did you get that? See, our desire is not to be glorified. Our desire is not some big name. Our desire is not to boast some church, or make more in the Sunday school, or try to bring in and hogtie and push in, offer a picnic party and bring stars and buttons and something else like that. That's not our desire. See? Our desire is to see him glorified. Not with self-pride, but in us, our lives, to prove he is alive. See? That's right. Sorry. What did he say there? Not stars, not buttons, not pins.
Right.
When I was a little kid, I didn't never went to church much in my life, but there was a little time my parents sent me to this Baptist church, and they didn't take us, they sent us. Brother Branham said, that's a no. That's a no. He said, you take your children to church. You don't send them. And you got a pin. And so one time I went 3 months. I was there every Sunday, and I got a pin. And they put that pin on me. And I thought, okay, that's real good. And you know, I was just a little guy. I thought, okay, I've achieved something. I'm not sure what I achieved. But there was a guy, and he had this big pin, and then he had another pin under it, and another pin, and it was like a military. You know, you see these really generals, you know, and they got all this stuff hanging on them. And this guy, he had this list down, and he had been, I can't remember what it was, but it was something like 12 years. He had never missed a Sunday. And he had a pin. He had another one hanging for every year. Show it to me.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
What are you expressing? What is that expressing?
Yes.
Think about it. It means nothing.
Amen.
It is being the holder of the revelation of Jesus Christ in this earthen vessel. That's what it is. It's an earthen vessel that is walking around with the quickening power in it. And just yielded to the Spirit of God so God can do whatever He wants to do whenever He wants to do it.
Amen. That's right.
And what's amazing is when the Spirit returned, the gifts returned in the Pentecostal age, that was all over the people. That was all over the people. People were being led of the Spirit. And they were just feel led to do this, help this person, help that person, go see this person, do this, do that.
Right.
Brother, if they could do that under that baptism, then where should we be today?
Amen. Yes, sir.
If there's ever been a group of people on the face of the earth that should be in tune with God, that God can lead them every day in what they're doing. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see Him glorified, not with self-pride. Paragraph 320. If I can get myself out of the way, so when William Branham is not even thought of, and you're not even thought of, and you not even thought of, till we can see Jesus glorified among us, see Him, that's our desire. That's gives us the quickening power, see? And it gives us joy to know that we are with Him, both flesh and bone of Him, being the bride of Him, and seeing His same vindicated methods, proving in us that He's now risen from the dead. Amen. How are you going to do it? Get out of the way. Die. Become a living sacrifice that Christ can express Himself. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. That's what He has.
Yes, sir.
That's what He has. Maybe we haven't matured as much as we should. But this word is not failing.
That's right.
This word is coming to pass. And He has, not He's going to have, He has on the earth right now a people that are full of the Spirit of God, that are walking in the revelation of this day. There's a people on the earth. And there's a people, that a bride that has not spot or wrinkle. They're standing completely justified in the sight of God. They have no sin. That's according to the Word of God.
Amen.
They have no sin. They've been set free from the curse of sin.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You say, well, you still get sick. No, the flesh does. No, not the soul.
Right.
The soul stands justified in the sight of God.
Amen. Yes.
That's Christ living in you.
Yes,
now I'm fixing to close here. This 321. No wonder He said, fear not. Notice we are redeemed by Him and now risen with Him. And that's what Easter means to the people. Risen with Him. Notice we have His Spirit in us, the abstract deed fully paid. Now, abstract, you know what it means. You can have a deed, you can have all kinds of deeds, but when you have an abstract deed. So the problem is, when you just have a deed, then somebody can come along and they can make a claim. It's just like this property right here, all this area right here going back up into those woods back there. and up the hill. They're used to mine for gold here. I don't know if you, some of you may not know that. They used to mine for gold. And so, and that's why at some places you'll find rocks just stir up where they dug it up and dug it up and dug it up. So when the mining companies, when it played out and it wasn't valuable enough for them, what they did is they put, I don't know if you call it a lien, like a mechanic's lien or what, it's some kind of lien, not a mechanic's lien, I think that's different. But anyways, they put a clause in there when they sold the property. They didn't want to keep it up and they didn't want to pay taxes, but they put a clause. And that clause says that if anybody ever strikes gold on any of this property here, that they still have a claim. Okay? And the only way you can know that is if you get an abstract deed. Because an abstract deed searches the deed all the way back to the beginning. So, it doesn't stop at the natural man. It doesn't stop at the book of your natural life. It goes all the way back before the foundation of the world to who you were and where you were in Christ.
That's right.
That's an abstract deed. It's when the title has been searched all the way back to the very beginning before anybody ever had it. To see if there's any claims against it anywhere. That's why you're set free. That's why there's no claims against you. That's why there's no sin.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You don't go halfway back. You don't go 99% back. It goes all the way. It goes back all the way.
Amen.
Praise be to God. I'm just going to stop right there. Do you love Him?
Amen.
We thank God. We thank God for His Word. We thank God for this revelation. We thank God that we have been resurrected.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's the truth.
Amen.
That is the truth. It is a resurrection. And when Brother Branham said he brought the revelation that you were in Him when He went to Calvary, you were in Him. That's right. You were in seed form. And then I think it's in the Message, God of this Evil Age, He said it like this. He said, you paid for your sins in Christ at Calvary because you were in Him. Though it was in seed form, you were in Him. That's right.
Amen.
You died with Him. You suffered with Him. You walked with Him. Yes, you did. And when He resurrected, you resurrected with Him.
Amen.
That's right. Because it's all Him. That's what it is. There's only one eternal, and it's Him.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about. And He's the Word, and it's the Word that has risen.
Amen.
It's the life. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. We'll ask you to stand together with us. You'll come, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Praise be to God. Thank you. That was deep and great. That was good. Think about that, the two wings, and that's quite something. That's quite something. And I'm not going to talk about it. But it's quite something. The quickening power. The quickening power. That's great. That's great. And it's great. It's the quick. I hope this is this working? Okay. I'm talking about the quickening power. The quickening power.
Amen.
And actually, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's God in you.
Amen.
And the difference now is that the wholeness of Him has come. That's the thing. The wholeness of Him is now in the bride, in you, individually. And what it does, and what that does is... It quickens. It's quickening power. So it quickens even your mortal bodies.
Right.
This body that is supposed to rot and die and go back to... And that's what the confusion, Brother John, that people have. They think that this body... How does this body... How is this body changed? That's what I call the change of the body, brother.
Amen.
And maybe people are put it out there Maybe people are going to study, Brother Don, and maybe they'll have some difference with me. They were different with me. Yes. And that's okay. But that is what I call the change.
Yes.
That's how you get changed. That's how you get changed. All will be changed. All will be changed. Even those who are dead will be brought here. And it will be changed because it's the quickening power. So this quickening power goes to the dead. That's what the prophet says. It goes to the dead, to Paul and Irenaeus and all of them. And it also comes to us, which are right, the two wings. That's exactly right. The two wings right there. The quickening power. And, you know, the kind of quickening power that we have now is the fullness. And you can imagine what Elisha had. They buried Elisha. You remember they buried Elisha? And when they buried Elisha, that quickening power had gone to his heart, because that's the only way that actually the quickening power can work on a man, is that quickening power to go into the heart of a man. That's right. That's the only way. That's the only place it goes. Then from there, it gets the soul, the spirit. And from there, it gets the body. That's the only way, the quickening power. So it got the body of Elisha. And when it got the body of Elisha, Elisha died, because he had to die. Even when you have the quickening power, this body has got to go back to the dead. It quickens your mortal bodies. And he was buried.
Yeah.
When he was buried, he had the quickened power. The quickened power, whether dead or alive, he doesn't go.
Mm.
That's what he said. That's in that book, rather. He doesn't go. Quickening power is new. Because that is what will resurrect you. It will resurrect that power. That was what is in Jesus Christ. When he died and buried, that is what brought him up. That quickened power will bring you up. That's exactly. That, now you can point to a grave where you'll be buried. Where? I have that Jesus had. And you can point it over there where you'll be buried. And say, grave, where's your power? You can hold me there. Now you can hold me. Sin, where's your power, sin? I don't have any sin in me. It was taken away by the quickening power. That's right. You know what happened to Elisha? Somebody was put there. Bones, dry, rotted, and completely dead. And somebody was put, when he touched that guy rose up.
Right.
That guy rose up because of the quickening power in the body. It will quicken your mortal bodies. Now, that was nothing compared to what we have now. Elisha did not have the fullness. Now, we have the fullness.
Amen.
That's right.
How much quickening power do you think this body can have?
About
it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. You love us, Lord, because that's the only way you can come to us the way you do. Because, Father, your love is shown, Lord God, by election. You've chosen us among the people of the world, Lord, to partake of this liberation of your word, Lord. It's so deep, Father. It's completely hidden, Lord. And when you look at them, Lord God, sometimes they are our people and we feel for them. But, Lord, unless they are elected, there's no way to see this, Lord. And Father, when we see that we are seeing it, Lord, we see how much you love us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything, Lord. Bring us to yourself. Bring us closer to yourself, Father. Help us to surrender, to give ourselves completely to you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.